It's a joy to be here back at home church. I seem to have been all over the place this month, but it's lovely to be with you guys and just to share this evening. And we are continuing with our theme that's been set for the East Gateway Hub of Go. And this evening I want to say go and receive restoration. And I want to take you to a story we find in the Old Testament. But just before I do that and tell you where to find it, I have a disappointing experience to share with you. I think you will be saddened by it, but I feel I need to just give you a little bit of insight to a recent event that took place in my life and the disappointment that came out of it. I decided, after having been told by a local expert that my mobile phone was about equal to Noah's Ark phone, that it was time that I went and got an upgrade. And so I, after serious consideration, decided that that's what I would do. And I had a look to see what sort of costs were involved, and came to the conclusion there was no way that I was going to pay that sort of money. I would get a refurbished one, because that would save me pounds. And so I duly went on to a certain well-known site, which I will not advertise at this point in time, and I purchased a refurbished iPhone, an iPhone 13. That really was quite significant. I know it's still old, it's up to about 16 now, but nevertheless, it's modern for me. And the phone duly arrived, and I then thought, well, can I cope with the transfer across? But I thought, I'll risk that, and so the transfer took place, and now I had my new iPhone, with all that had been on my old iPhone, all there, spanking new, ready to go, and all seemed well for 24 hours. I noticed that within that 24-hour period that the phone did a few funny things, such as it sent me a message telling me it didn't recognise the battery, and it suggested that it was because it was not an iPhone battery. So I had a look up to see whether that really made any difference, and all it said was that it would all function fine, but it just wouldn't give a true reading of the amount of charge that was left. So I thought, okay, I'll cope with that. And then I began to find that I was doing things on the phone, and without any warning, it decided to switch itself off. And so I then had to go and press the button, get it back up again. And eventually it came to a point where I was in the middle of conversations and it switched itself off and left the person who I was talking to high and dry, and me feeling very frustrated, having to ring them back, explain it's my phone, I'm not quite sure what's going on. Then, even worse than that, it then decided that it wouldn't charge either. Oh, at which point, now I really was at the end of my tether. In fact, I had a very important phone call, and I answered the phone call, said hello, and then the phone went pfft. And so I rang back, hello. And so in the end, I had to use my home phone, which cost me money because it's free to receive calls but not to make calls. And so I was really annoyed by that. So I thought, it's jolly fun. Anyway, the end result of all of that was it's gone back with an appropriate review. And because I now couldn't get my number back onto my old iPhone, I had to jump in the car, drive to Southend, go into one of the local stores, buy a new iPhone, and I won't tell you the message that Maureen sent me, but it was not extremely encouraging, can I say, when I received it, about the fact that I went and bought a refurbished phone. Why do I tell you all of that? I tell you all of that because, you see, I was disappointed by the fact that something that I was so excited about, that I received, has suddenly been taken away from me. And I no longer had it. And I want to turn you to a passage in the Bible where we see that something was given, and then it seemed that God took it away. I wonder whether you've ever had the experience in your life where you feel that God's giving you something, and then suddenly it's been taken away from you. Maybe it be a dream that you had of something that would unfold in your life. Maybe it might be your health. Maybe it might be something to do with your possessions or your wealth or your gifts. That you felt that God gave you something, and all of a sudden, now it's not there. Well, let's look at this story you find in 2 Kings chapter 4. And we'll pick it up from verse 18, reading from the NLT. One day when her child was older, he went out to visit his father who was working with the harvesters. Suddenly he complained, "My head hurts, my head hurts." His father said to one of the servants, "Carry him home to his mother." That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Whenever one of our children was not feeling particularly well, go and see your mum, because I never knew what to do with them. And she's a nurse, so she ought to know what she's doing with them anyway. But take him to his mother. So the servant took him home, and his mother held him on her lap. But around noontime, he died. She carried him up to the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and left him there. She sent a message to her husband, "Send one of the servants and a donkey so that I can hurry to the man of God and come right back." "Why today?" he asked. "It is neither a new moon festival nor a Sabbath." But she said, "It's all right." So she saddled the donkey and said to the servant, "Hurry, don't slow down on my account unless I tell you to." As she approached the man of God at Mount Carmel, Elisha saw her in the distance. He said to Gehazi, "Look, the woman from Shunem is coming. Run out to meet her and ask her, 'Is everything all right with you and with your husband and with your child?'" "Yes," the woman told Gehazi, "everything is fine." But when she came to the man of God at the mountain, she fell on the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. Gehazi began to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. Something is troubling her deeply, and the Lord has not told me what it is." Then she said, "It was you, my Lord, who said, 'I would have a son.' And didn't I tell you not to raise my hopes?" Then Elisha said to Gehazi, "Get ready to travel. Take my staff and go. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Go quickly and lay the staff on the child's face." But the boy's mother said, "As surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I won't go home unless you go with me." So Elisha returned with her. Gehazi hurried on ahead and laid the staff on the child's face. But nothing happened. There was no sign of life. He returned to meet Elisha and told him, "The child is still dead." When Elisha arrived, the child was indeed dead, lying there on the prophet's bed. He went in alone and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. Then he lay down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, and his hands on the child's hands. And the child's body began to grow warm again. Elisha got up and walked back and forth in the room a few times. Then he stretched himself out again on the child. This time, the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Then Elisha summoned Gehazi. "Call the child's mother," he said. And when she came in, Elisha said, "Here is your son." She fell at his feet, overwhelmed with gratitude. Then she picked up her son and carried him downstairs. Why would you go to him today He replied, "It is not a new moon or a Sabbath. Everything is all right," she said. I just want to draw some truths out of receiving restoration. Recognizing there are times when it seems as though God allows things to happen that we do not understand, and in effect, we can feel as though we have been let down, disappointed with God. And as we look at the next slide, I have given you some alliterated points that will help you or frustrate you depending on how you feel about alliteration. But can I say this, that for some of you this evening, disappointment is touching your life because you feel that that is what has happened, that God has let you down, that there is something that he has given to you or promised to you that you've held on to. But as the time has gone by, there's come a point where you have felt that it has died, that there is no life in that experience, no life in that promise, no life in that which God has said he would do. And what God wants you to know this evening is that his time is always the right time. And although there are occasions when you will not understand why it is that he takes away, yet if you are to trust him and believe in him, you will discover, as this woman discovers, that there is something that God is doing that is even greater than you expected because of what has appeared to be the loss, which would ultimately become an even greater gain. Amen. There are things that you will discover in your life where God will take hold of that which seems to have died and resurrect it into something that will be both awesome, amazing, and glorifying to him. You see, when we find that we go through difficult times, when we find that we are disappointed with God, there are two responses. And the two responses are opposites. One is it can drive us to God. The other is it can drive us from God. Here in this passage that we've read together, we discover that when this child dies, the mother immediately wants to go to where the presence of God is. Bearing in mind that the prophet carried the presence of God. The prophet carried the anointing of God. For this woman, it was symbolic of God being there. And when difficulties come into your life and my life, there will be the temptation that we will actually move away from God. If that's the way you're going to treat me, God, I don't want anything to do with you. If that's the thing you're going to do in my life, I won't walk with you anymore. If that's how you're going to respond at this time, I want you to know that I no longer want to follow you. You see, in the time of Jesus, there were various occasions where Jesus brought challenges about the cost of discipleship and the cost of walking with him. And in those times when he brought challenges, there were those moments where people chose to walk away. And yet at the same time, there are others who responded differently and chose to move closer and nearer to Jesus in his presence. And I want to say to you, church family, that God is in the business at the moment of seeking to create the environment where we are driven towards him, not from him. The circumstances will come into your life and into the life of the East Gateway Hub, which will at times seem to suggest that God somehow or other is getting things wrong, that we don't understand what he's up to. We have all sorts of questions that arise in our minds. And yet in that moment, in that time, is to realize that God is seeking to capture our attention and to cause us to want to drive ourselves toward coming to a greater understanding of his presence and of his power. And so it was that this woman, she begins to prepare herself to make this journey. You see, the reason that she was driven towards God rather than away from the presence of God was because she allowed herself to discern the supernatural as opposed to the natural. The natural environment in which she found herself was an environment that said that all hope was gone. It was an environment that suggested there was no way through. It was the environment where she held in her arms her dead child. Everything said, that is the end. There is nowhere to go from here. But for her, there is something within her that creates that moment where she begins to believe that even though the natural says and reveals one thing, the supernatural can say and reveal something entirely different. Some of you, you need to have the same eyes of discernment that this woman had. You are discerning things in the natural. The God is wanting you to look into the supernatural. You are discerning things through your own eyes and in your own mind. You are coming to certain conclusions, which are natural conclusions to reach, which suggest that this is the end of something. When in fact, with the supernatural eyes of the Spirit of God, you will hear God saying to you, no, this is the start of something. We see the evidence of this in the New Testament in the context of the raising of Lazarus. You remember how the Bible tells us that Jesus receives the message, Lazarus is sick. And as the message is received, so it is that the disciples say to Jesus, Jesus, we need to go now. We need to respond urgently. We need to get there so you can do something. Looking through natural eyes is understandable, the reason for their urgency. But you see, Jesus was looking through supernatural eyes, the eyes of his Father. He said, no, now's not the right time. We need to wait. Some of you, you need to understand you've got to wait. Waiting is difficult. Waiting is hard. Waiting is something that certainly doesn't come naturally to me. I want to see it here and I want to see it now. There's a heart in me that longs for the breakthrough of revival. And as we met as leaders yesterday and we were captured by the sense of the things that God is doing, one particular church, for the last, I think it was 2 years, they've had a baptismal service every Sunday. God is at work doing some amazing things. Talking to some leaders, they have seen expansion of the kingdom of God with numerous people coming to faith because of what God is doing. And then when I hear these stories, I say, Lord, I want to see it. I want to see it here, now, where I am, in our situation. And as we, as the East Gateway Hub, capture a sense as Pastor Lloyd and the team begin to get an awareness of what God is saying. Pastor Lloyd, in the video that was shown yesterday, commented how that part of what he felt God was saying to him was a challenge, that in every town and every village, in the area where he was called to serve, churches would be planted. And when you think about that, in the natural, that just not does not seem feasible or possible. But you see, here we discover that Jesus says, hold on a minute, you've got to wait. And then when the right time takes place, Jesus said, right, it's now time to go. But of course, in the natural, it's too late now. Because when they get there, Lazarus has died. Understandably, his sisters come up and they respond as probably I would respond. This is your fault. It's not the exact words they used, but the words were this. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. In other words, it's your fault. And here is Jesus beginning to reveal to these two sisters there is something absolutely vital that they need to learn the lesson of, that they need to begin to see the supernatural eyes rather than the natural eyes. And so it is that Jesus begins to talk to them about the reality of the fact that resurrection life flows in him and flows from him. And when tomorrow we have a funeral service here, part of the wording that we use, our word is along the line, I am, Jesus said, the resurrection of the life. He who believes in me, though he died, yet shall he live. And he who lives and believes in me will never die. That's supernatural eyes. Seeing a supernatural agenda in order that glory might be brought to God. Jesus, of course, fulfills the revelation of his resurrection power when he calls Lazarus out from the tomb. Here is a woman, not of Israel, who's beginning to understand and see by faith that there is something that happened in the supernatural which is totally opposite to what is in the natural. I feel I need to say to some of you that you're looking in the natural at some of the situations in your family, some of the situations that are going in your life, and as you're looking at it with your natural eyes, you're not seeing that there's any way through. And Father wants you to begin to come into his presence, asking him to give you supernatural eyes, to see that he is at work, even though you cannot see him at work. And he has a purpose and a plan that will ultimately bring glory to him. It's interesting that John Luca, right at the outset, the first song that we sang was a song about being in the good place and being in the desert place. And then we go into that refrain, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
That's easily sung, but not so easily lived out. Not so easily lived out. So she is driving towards the presence of God, discerning that there is something in the supernatural that she can discover for herself. And out of that experience, there comes this declaration of faith. An amazing declaration. You see, her husband says, what are you going to the presence of God for? Why are you going off to the place where God resides, in the sense of going and meeting with the church leader? Surely Sunday's enough. Don't have to bother with going in the week. Do you know, when you get a desire for the presence of God, no matter what day it is, the yearning for his presence drives you towards him. But she says this, she says, look, I want you to know it's all okay. Now I don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell us, whether he was aware that his son was dead upstairs in the prophet's room. Well, I'm told that. And the assumption must be that I think he probably did not know at that point. She didn't tell him what happened. She didn't involve him other than to say, I need to go. I need to go and to receive restoration. And in saying that I need to go, I want you to know that I'm going with an expectation. And the expectation is, it's going to be all right. And I say to some of you, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You can't see it, but it's going to be all right. God is at work in your circumstance. God is at work in the place where you are unaware of it. And you need to have that faith that says, I know it's going to be fine. There's an old hymn. I'm of the age now where I can still remember old hymns. And this whole hymn, which those of you who are of my age may remember, you younger ones will probably have no idea, says this: he is not a disappointment. He is more than life to me. He's not a disappointment. And so it is that here is this woman in faith saying, I know that I'm not going to be disappointed by God. I know I'm not going to be disappointed in this situation. I know that even though I can't see it, understand it, I know I'm going to believe that all is well. So when you come to that place, you're totally dependent on God. Totally dependent on him. And there are times when he allows us to come into circumstances and situations in our lives because he wants us in that place where we've got no one else to turn to, no one else to depend upon. We are totally and completely dependent upon him. In my own life, in my own experience, there have been those times, those seasons, where I have been at that place where I have nowhere else to go except to Him. To be dependent upon Him, totally aware that unless He does something, then there is no hope. There is no answer. And there are times when He will take us to that place of dependency. Because until we get to that place of dependency, we will not make the discoveries that He wants us to make, or enter into the resources He wants us to have. There are gifts of the Spirit that God wants to distribute amongst His church. But those gifts of the Spirit He wants to distribute can only be distributed when you come to the place where you are dependent upon Him. There are ministries that He wants you to be entering into and to experience in your life, that you will only ever come to that place where you begin to operate out of that ministry and see it becoming something that is fruitful in your life when you come to the point where you are totally dependent upon Him. See, I recognize in my own life that it's so very easy for me to operate in my own humanity and in my own strength. I recognize in my own life that there are times when it is both possible and feasible for me to do something where I don't need the supernatural, where I don't need the presence of God, where I'm more than able to cope with my own human ability and resources. But I needed to learn, and I need to continue to learn, that even though I might have those abilities and those capabilities to be able to operate without the Spirit, yet we need the Spirit of God to enable us to function in such a way that people do not encounter us, they encounter Him. That is what makes all the difference. It is the presence of God. This woman, she came to the place where she was so dependent upon God that she knew there was nowhere else to go and nowhere else to turn. And here in our communities, across the whole of the East Gateway Hub, there are thousands and thousands of people who are dependent upon their own provision, their own strength, their own gifting, their own ways to bring what they think will be satisfaction to their lives. But God is going to be at work creating an environment where suddenly they discover there's nowhere else to turn. It was mentioned yesterday, and I find it quite illuminating, that there is amongst the younger generation, the Gen Z, I think it is, there is a spiritual hunger that has not been seen in previous generations.
That's true.
And I think the reason for it is, you see, the current generation, generally speaking, they have got it all. They've got everything. Certainly in the Western world, in countries of affluence, they've got it all. And yet there is a yearning and a recognition that inside there is an emptiness, there is a loneliness, there is an uncertainty, there is something that suggests there must be more to this. And so it is that they are coming to a place where they're being brought to that point where they're asking the questions and where they will come to discover the answer lies in dependency upon God. When you come to the point of being dependent upon God, you have to do what this woman did. And that is, you have to determine to keep going. I tried running once. Didn't last very long. I'm not a runner. My body wasn't built for it. And so I find that if I try to run, and when I meet up with my grandchildren, particularly my grandchildren from Cheltenham, I mean, they're so fit. So their parents come to think of it. And they say, come on, Grandpa, let's run. I think, why do I want to run? What a trouble as it is. Waddling. I don't run. Come on, Grandpa. And so I try. and it lasts for a very short period of time before I say, I give up. You are much faster than I am. You are much fitter than I am. And so they recognise that, yeah, I've reached the age now where I'm not built for running in the natural. But in the supernatural, I identify the Apostle Paul. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. I want to run. I want to run with determination. I do not want to give up. This week has been absolutely loaded with events. I've been driving all over the place this week. I didn't even know that Maureen was away. I've been so busy. And the fact remains that various people have said to me, in fact, someone said to me tonight, I thought you were retired. And I say, I thought I was retired as well. But you see, God has obviously determined that I'm not retired yet. And you have to ask the question, well, what does retirement look like in the kingdom of God? And I've said this before, but I keep coming back to it, because God keeps bringing me back to it. Caleb started at 80. Moses was getting on in his mission when he was called to go. And as far as the men and women of God were concerned, particularly when you think of, I'm trying to think of his name, and at the moment it escapes me, Abraham, that's the name. You see, when Abraham started at 100 with a child, I think, see, nothing is impossible, but nevertheless, what we see is that the men and women of God kept going. I need to say to you, church, do not give up. Determine to keep going. See, in church life, over the 40 plus years that I've been involved in church life, I have seen amazing expansion. I've also seen rapid decline. And you can think to yourself, in the times of amazing expansion, oh, it's so great to be here and just to see what God is doing. And then when it's the opposite, to think, perhaps it'd be better if I was somewhere else. You see, God is in both those seasons. God is in both those times. Because God is always at work. And the issue for us is not what is happening around us, but are we determined to keep going and to see breakthrough and to see what God can do in and through us? Being aware of time, I want to bring to this to a quick conclusion by saying this, that there came a moment in her life where she began to develop an understanding of what God could do. See, she comes to the man of God, the place where the presence of God is, and what she says is, did I ask you for a son, my Lord? And didn't I say, don't deceive me and get my hopes up? She's saying to him, look, I told you right at the outset, don't tell me that something's going to happen and then have it taken away from me. And that's what seems to be the case here. Yet at the same time, even as she says that, there is something still within her that suggests that actually there is more to discover here. There is a greater understanding that I can have of this God that I didn't really know at all. And God is developing an understanding in your life, in your experience, in your journey. Wherever you are, no matter whether you're a relatively new follower of Jesus or whether you've been a follower of Jesus for years and years and years, you do not yet know it all. I don't know it all. But what I do know is that God is wanting us to understand him and his greatness and his grace and his power and his blessing in even ever greater measure. As we conduct the funeral tomorrow for Terry, one of the things that Anne has very clearly said is that it has been amazing to her how the grace of God has prevailed through a time that has been most difficult, and to us could seem to be dark. Yet to her and Terry, it's been a moment of amazing outpouring of God's grace and God's goodness. And that is God at work, bringing a deeper understanding of who he is, of what he can do, and how he is there, even when we're going through it. Out of that understanding, she discovered his power. And from discovering his power, there dawned a new chapter in her life. See, what she thought had died, she received restored back. And God is going to restore stuff to you. Prodigals are going to be restored. Families are going to be restored. Health is going to be restored. The miraculous is going to be restored. Salvation is going to flow, and the evidence of that salvation is the restoration, the greatest restoration that could ever happen. The restoring of the sinner who comes to save your faith. Be ready to receive restoration. Go and receive it in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.